Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of you today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In a changing world, what kind of change can we accept in the church? I'm going to visit with you about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we give you thanks that you have established your church on this earth. And you have told us, O God, that that church shall remain wherever the gospel is rightly preached. And so we pray today that in a changing world, we may feel ready and anxious to join our fellow men in changes that do not really affect the gospel. But where your word, both law and gospel, are affected, we pray that you will give us the grace to stand firm. Speak to us, O God, through this word, and grant that we may be drawn closer to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. I'm reading today from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Let me just give you a bit of introduction. Peter was living with a friend by the name of Simon the Tanner. He was living in a town called Joppa. Down in Caesarea, there was a man by the name of Cornelius who had learned in a dream that he was to send for Peter, that the apostle might come and minister to him. So we begin at verse 23. When the men came, Peter invited them into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask, why did you send for me? What do you really want?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
Friends in Christ, I believe it is fair to say that no age has experienced change as we have in the last 75 years. We have moved from houses that had no bathrooms to those that have three or more bathrooms. We have moved from the scrub board to the automatic washer and dryer, from the horse and buggy to the jet airplane, from lutefisk and brats to pizza and tacos, from the 5-tube radio that could barely bring in a station 100 miles away to television that connects us with any part of our world instantly. Most of these changes that I have just described can be accepted very easily because they have made life much more enjoyable and certainly much more convenient. But there are other changes that are more difficult to accept. For example, growing older. Someone has said that the Lord taught me how to die, but has not taught me how to grow old. There's an element of truth in this. We have failing health. That's hard to accept. We see our children leaving home, and we would not want anything else, but there nevertheless is an empty spot there. Then we come to changes in the church. The message of God's word does not change, but other part of the church's program has been subject to change many times in these last years. And that's what we see in our text today. I'd like to take you then to that story of Peter and Cornelius. There was a man living at Caesarea by the name of Cornelius. He was an officer in the Roman Empire's army. The Bible tells us that he was a very religious man. And one day he had a vision. The vision was to send men to Joppa to get Peter, who was staying with Simon the tanner. On that particular day, Peter had gone up on the roof to pray. Kind of an interesting place to have a devotion, isn't it? While he was there, he was going to have something to eat. And after he had eaten, he took a nap. While he was napping, there was a sheet that came down from heaven to earth. On the sheet were four-footed animals, reptiles, birds, and all the rest. And then the voice said, "Peter, kill and eat." Peter replied, "I have never eaten anything unclean." And the voice said, "Do not call anything unclean that God has made clean." And then the sheet was taken back into heaven. As Peter sat there pondering the dream, there were men who came from Cornelius' headquarters. For the Lord had given him a dream too. And his dream was that he was to send men to Joppa, and there they were to get a hold of Peter and take him back down to Cornelius' house. When Peter heard this, he was reluctant to go. But pondering it for a while and remembering the vision that he had had, he decided to go, and he took a few men with him. When they got to Cornelius' house, there was a large group of people there. And then it was that Peter, looking at them, said, "Well, I have crossed the threshold, but I want you to know it is against our law for a Jew to go into a Gentile's house. But God has shown me that I should not call any man unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection." Cornelius then responded by saying, "God told me to send for you, and so I did." And as Peter was standing there in that house that was not really the place he wanted to be because it was contrary to his tradition and his religious convictions, Peter began to tell him the gospel of Christ. He told him that Jesus had come to be the Savior of the world, that he had suffered and died on the cross as a payment for their sins, and if they would but believe in him, they would have the forgiveness of their sin and they would be restored into fellowship with God. While he was preaching, the Holy Spirit was at work, and many of these people came to faith in Christ. Seeing their faith and seeing that they had received the Holy Spirit, Peter responded by saying, "How can I hinder these people from being baptized?" And they were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, and the church of Jesus Christ moved on. In other words, the New Testament church experienced changes, and some of these changes were very, very difficult. Later, Peter went to Jerusalem, and when he got there, he told the authorities of the church what had happened there in Cornelius' house. According to what the Bible tells us, there were some who were very disgusted with Peter, but the more he went on to tell how the Holy Spirit was there and these people had come to faith in Jesus Christ, there was not very much that they could say. And consequently, they accepted the fact that Gentiles were now a part of the kingdom of God. That was a very, very difficult change. But changes have come and they have gone. Our faith is very personal, isn't it? If you are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, you live with him, and you don't want anything or anyone to hinder that relationship in any way. It's the one thing in our lives that we don't want to have change. A good friend of mine said one day, "You know, I'm 78 years old, and I anticipated all kinds of changes, but I did not think my church would change." Now, that bothered me just a little bit, because I had to ask him, "In what way has your church changed? Is it the content of your faith that is being changed, or are there some other things that we associate with the biblical message as we have gone to church, but really have no relationship with the gospel at all?" As we talked about this whole matter, the person realized that the biblical message has not changed, nor can it ever change. God's law stands and cannot be amended by society, regardless of new insights by other academic disciplines. The gospel of Jesus Christ cannot change. If it does change, there is no historic Christianity in that particular place. There may be some kind of moralism. There may be some kind of do-good religion, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is the core of it all. However, surrounding the law and the gospel, there are these changes as they come to us from one time to another. In other words, it seems to be the way that the gospel is ministered to in a particular age. I once had a very good friend who's now gone to be with the Lord. He was a very committed Christian and a devout member of the Roman Catholic Church. One day, as we were visiting about the changes that had taken place in that part of Christendom, he said, "I am glad that the Mass is now said in the vernacular." But he said, "You know, I was confirmed and I was trained as a boy, and the Mass is always said in Latin. Occasionally, when I get to a big city, I find that there are those churches that still have a Latin Mass, and I love to go there and take part in it." The gospel had not changed in his church, but what had changed was the presenting of the gospel. Once it was in Latin, where most people could not understand, and today it was in the language of the people. I remember when I came to Cedar Falls, Iowa, many, many years ago. It was a congregation that had Danish roots. And the people were very gracious. They certainly didn't expect me to preach in Danish, and it would have been atrocious if they had, for I did not know the language. But occasionally, one of the old Danes would say to me, "It would be so nice if once in a while, those of us who understand the language could have a good Danish sermon." So we tried to arrange that, and especially on what they call Little Christmas Eve. That was on the 23rd of December. We would get somebody who was rather fluent in Danish to come and to preach the Word of God. Some of those old Danes sat there. It was the same gospel that they were going to hear on Christmas Eve in English, but they were hearing it in their mother tongue. They were hearing it in a tongue where they had been raised and educated in one way or another. They were so happy for that service. Nothing had happened to the gospel. The gospel was the same, but it was just delivered to them in a way that really sort of punched the nostalgic button, and they were thankful for the service. Today, people, we have the contemporary worship services. 5 years ago, I thought this type of a service was a fad. It would not last for very long. As I observe things in the church today, not only in the congregation where I worship, but around in the country, I believe this type of service is here to stay for a long time. Now, is that bad? Not if the truth of God's word is objectively proclaimed along with its subjective emphasis. Certainly we are to let our emotions go, and certainly we are to raise our spirits in thanksgiving to God. But along with all of this, we have to hear the gospel, that God has come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. And if that particular service is singing songs that are different, it doesn't mean that the gospel is not being proclaimed. Now that the songs do not lift up Jesus Christ. You see, it's all right. We have to know where we can accept change for the betterment of the kingdom of God and where we simply have to say no. Now, the contemporary worship service for a man of my age is, in most cases, not the type of worship service that really touches us. I find myself going to the traditional worship services. But when I come out of that traditional worship service and I see masses of people going into the contemporary worship, I realize that God is using that service. I realize that many of those young people might not be there if it were all the traditional again. That's just the way it is. Notice, Peter finally, hard as it was, accepted the change of entering a Gentile's house. But when he entered the house, he was telling them the same old story that he had always told. He was telling Cornelius and all of his crowd that you have sinned and that you need a Savior and that God has loved you so much and I'm willing to accept it, Peter said, that he even loved the Gentiles. And as a result of that, I am willing to say that he loves you. And because he loves you, he has died for you. And if you will confess your sins and you will believe in him, you're going to be saved. And there were masses of people who were saved. The change had taken place. The gospel was the same. The law of God was the same. Christ Jesus had come. Gentiles came to Christ, and Christ's command to bring the gospel to all people had taken another big step. Now, what is it saying to us? Someone has said that if his grandparents returned to this earth, they would not recognize the church. I hope that isn't true. They may look for a minute and say, "What in the world has happened? Look at all the changes." But I would hope that they would say how good it was to be here, how good it was to hear again at least one great hymn of the church. For on that particular day, we might have sung the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Or we might have sung that beautiful song that has been heard here on the program today, Lamb of God, Most Holy. I hope our grandparents would say that they were delighted to join with the rest of the congregation in confessing their faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I hope that will never leave. That's very basic, as far as our worship is concerned. I would hope that as they left the church, they would say, "We heard the law and the gospel." The law has not been changed. It has not in any way been heard any differently than it was when we were here on earth. And the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed as well as ever we heard it. Then if there are other changes that have come, what would it really matter? We would see people, if our grandparents came back, they would see people not of their own nationality. They would not all be Scandinavians or Germans or English or Scotch. They would be other people of other races even. And they would say, "How good that the brethren have come to be with us, and we have our unity in Jesus Christ." How good it would be to hear them say, "Well, the order of service was a little bit different, but we heard the message being communicated to a new generation." It was not just people who were raised in our denomination from birth, but many who had come from no church background at all, and some had come from an entirely different denomination. We understand that Grandma and Grandpa would say that there is not a great denominational emphasis now for you people as there once was for us, but you have found your unity in Jesus Christ. Change, my friend, we will always have, but never let the biblical message change, for then the church will no longer be in our midst. Amen.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, my Redeemer, sing, oh sing, my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. Sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God within to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, sing, oh sing, of my
pray with me. Lord, you have taught us in your word that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that that same gospel message will be the same in every generation. We thank you, Father, that we can depend upon your promises, for they do not change either. But grant that these changes that we experience, that have a temptation of dividing us, may not be able to do that. For we realize that there is only one thing that is really needed in our church, and that is that your word be proclaimed in all of its truth and its purity. Today we pray that as that word is preached around the world, the Holy Spirit may work in the hearts of people as it did in Cornelius' house on that day, and many may come to faith in Christ, knowing Him as Savior and Lord. Hear our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by the gifts of our listeners. If you are able, we pray that you will support this ministry to spread the gospel to those who are unable to attend a place of worship. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you the gift of a free year 2001 calendar. This nature calendar features beautiful four-color portraits of spectacular scenes in the United States with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time. You can leave a message at any time. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. We invite you to visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 38 years.